produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Want to read Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 35. I want to read verses 35 to verses 43. I wanted to give us hope in what seems like a hopeless society. There's no need of sending or playing videos and all that stuff. We've seen enough. Images have been ingrained in our thoughts, minds, and hearts. I wanted to preach and give hope. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 35, and I want to do as best as I can to preach what the Word of God is saying. There were other scriptures that could have been preached. I know one of the favorites will be over in Luke, where the man was on the side of the road and, you know, he was beat up and left for dead. But I wanted to offer us a different perspective so that we could have hope. I'm very much aware and astute of the times that we're living in, and even the time, the moment that we're in now. I don't want anyone to think I'm dismissive of that. However, I wanted to offer us hope. Look at somebody shout hope. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 35, and it reads, reading from the King James Version, it reads, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Look at somebody and shout, "Keep believing." Verse 37, "And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult or the trouble, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why are you making this ado and weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her," which has been interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Straightway the damsel arose, walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. If you're not too mean, I just want to tag this: incredible blessings. Look at somebody shout, "Incredible blessings." God has given me an incredible blessing. As I sit here, even now, I wonder what and how things are done. There are certain things in life that, to be truthful and transparent, that are just out of our capacity and our control. And for the sake of this discussion, those things that are out of our capacity and our control, those things are in God's purview. And we have to learn that regardless of what situations and circumstances arise in our life, that there are certain things that we just simply are unable to handle and control. And as a result, we have to lean and trust on God Himself. The Bible allows us to know in Mark chapter 5 in verse 35 that while he was speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people which gave bad news, and they said, "Your daughter is dead." And the question was asked, "Why are you troubling the master any further?" And as soon in verse 36 as Jesus heard it, the Bible says that Jesus basically says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Let me unpack verse 35, because verse 35, and before I get into the context of this, let me give you my thesis, because the thesis of this sermon is simply this. This is the season that God is doing the incredible in our lives. Somebody needs to know that regardless of what it may look like now, that God is doing incredible in our lives. There are incredible blessings. There is incredible favor and healing and deliverance that God wants to give to you. But you've got to be willing to trust God with everything that you have. Notice the Bible says in verse 35 that they bring the bad news. And here's my first thing that all of us need to know, that before you get incredible favor, there will be messy situations that all of us have got to encounter. Yeah, look at somebody shout, messy situations. There will be messy situations that are just flat out messy. You will have situations that will be messy, mundane, minuscule. But in the midst of it all, as long as you got Jesus Christ, God knows how to work it all out. Is there anybody here that knows? God knows how to work it out. Yeah, look at somebody shout, "He knows how to work it out." So you got messy situations, and we look at the news. We've seen the video. We've seen the mistreatment. We've looked at mismanagement. We've seen how things have been mishandled. But through it all, God knows how to deal with messy situations. And in our lives, all of us have some messy situations. We can be transparent and truthful and allow others to know that there are messy situations in all of our lives. Matter of fact, when you came in here this morning, many of you got off the phone and walked in because you had just gotten through dealing with messy situations. Let me be clear. There are those of us that are sitting in this room under the sound of my voice that you've had to deal with messy situations. Matter of fact, if you hadn't dealt with a messy situation, you might be the reason somebody has a messy situation. Because to be transparent, there are some of us that are just flat out messy. I noticed Jesus has to deal with a messy situation. I don't know who you are, but right now you're dealing with a messy situation, a situation that you didn't see coming your way. But this situation has your attention. It has you in uproar. It has you to the place and point. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what's about to happen. And mess is all around you. But the good news is that Jesus is still with you. I don't care whether you bring in the mess or whether you are in the mess. Regardless of the messy situation, Jesus is able to handle it. The Bible says in verse 35, "Your daughter is dead." Notice the ruler of the synagogue's daughter is dead. In the midst of incredible blessings, we've got to deal with messy situations. But hold on, watch, because the story takes a turn in verse 36. As soon as Jesus hears the word that was spoken, he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Okay, let me see. So somebody has said in verse 35, don't bother the master any further because your daughter is dead. In verse 36, Jesus says, what I want you to do is don't be afraid, but only believe. This is my second point. And you got to know that in this season, you just got to believe. You got to only believe. Look at somebody, tell them, you better believe. You better keep on believing. You better keep on trusting. You better keep on having faith. Because in this season, the incredible is able to happen. I know what people have said. I know what sociologists have said. I know what your counselor has said, but somebody needs to know that in this season, that incredible can happen in my life, that I'm believing that blessings are going to happen. I'm trusting that favor is on my life. I'm believing that a healing is taking place because I'm trusting. I ain't trusting in the statistics. I'm not trusting in the story. I'm trusting in the Savior, and I believe the Savior says that I've got to only believe. Notice he says, don't be afraid, but only believe. That term, only believe, it literally means be believing. Be believing. Okay, I know you went to English school and you're sitting there, you're saying, Pastor, don't know good grammar because that makes no sense. What I'm trying to tell you is you've got to stay in the present tense, but also be progressively moving forward. In other words, you got to be in the present tense, but you got to believing progressively. In other words, it's going to get better. That's a word for somebody right there, that it will not stay where it is, that God is going to bring you through it, because I'm going to be believing. Is there anybody here that knows? I'm going to be believing that on tomorrow, I'm going to be believing. On my way to the mailbox, I'm going to be believing. On my way to the doctor's office, I'm going to be believing. Is there anybody here that knows? I'm going to be believing. I'm not going to stop believing because I'm trusting in what God says. Is there anybody here that knows that if God said it, that's all I need? I'm going to be believing. Look at somebody, tell them, you better be believing. Are you a be believer? Because if you a be believer, we're trusting that incredible favor is going to happen. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Okay. Let me see if I can make this clear. Janine asked me a question yesterday in the leadership training yesterday that we had a wonderful time with our leaders, and I thank all of our leaders that showed up. I'm grateful for you pressing through. Listen, but in that meeting, she asked me, because we had time, we kind of moved our service around on yesterday, and we gave the leaders time to talk about what they had seen the night before. And one of the questions, one of her probing questions that she asked me on yesterday, she said, we raise our boys right. She said, we do everything we can to make sure they say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. And I'm talking about when she said those words, it pierced me, because I started thinking about another circumstance that had just occurred. And I don't have time to go into that circumstance or situation, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that circumstance and that situation. And when she asked me that, I'm sitting there saying to myself, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to do, because we have raised our children to do right. We have raised our children to be respectful. We have raised our children to speak up when it's wrong. We have raised our children the best we could. But there are times that things will happen, that the world will get a hold of them. But when it does, you got to be believing. That's what I wanted to tell somebody, that regardless of what the world may do, regardless of what may occur, I got to be believing that God is going to see them through. At the end of the day, when they leave my house, I got to believe that God will see them through, that God will protect them, that God will raise them up. Is there anybody here that knows? You got to be believing. Look at somebody, shout, be believing.
mind when all else fails. I got to keep on trusting God. It's a hard thing when you see what happened on Friday. And I'm trying not to let it bleed over into the sermon, but because of the graphicness, because of the validityness of how bad it was, it's difficult not to have a dialogue even in a sermon. And it's difficult to sit there and pretend as though it didn't exist when it happened. And I know even when we see what happened on Friday, we understand that we raise our children. We expect them to come home like they left us. But even if they don't, his mother showed us the strength of grace. When she got on TV and did that 30-minute dossier with Don Lemon, y'all call him Don Lemon. Right now, I call him Don Lemon. Because he ain't Don Lemon no more after that interview. He can write his own ticket and do whatever he wants at CNN or any other studio. And I thought about what Don Lemon did in presenting that mother and showing the grace and the strength and the fortitude and the faith that she has. How she's able to sit there and say, I don't want our city to burn. I don't want nothing bad to happen in our city. All I want is justice for those officers that killed my boy. Let me tell you one thing. That shows grace and timidity and strength. All of the Christian values of what somebody that follows Christ looks like. Because I can't say I would have been able to sit there in an interview like that. I can't tell you that I would have been able to sit there and hold my wife and comfort my wife. I can't tell you that. I don't know what corner I would have been on. I can't tell you what I would have been on. I can't tell you who house I may have been lurking outside of. All I can tell you is she showed grace and strength. That's the Christian values that we ought to all have. Be believing. Notice. He says, only believe. Bible says in verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James, John, the brother of James. And notice, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees all that's going on. And them that are crying and that are wailing greatly. Let me help you out. Everybody that's crying ain't sad. You got to be careful because there are some people that are paid to cry at the right time. I wish I had a witness here. It's some people that have been paid to empathize with you. And there are some people that have been on somebody's payroll to show sympathy to you. But hold on. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus has discernment to kick out the right people or the wrong people and keep the right people. Let me do it the way I need to do it. He kicks out the wrong people and he keeps the right people. You got to be able to discern in your season of tumultuous that you're going through, of trouble and tumult, of who to kick out and who to keep. It's amazing that we always want to wait till the new year to talk about who you going to cut off. No, you don't need to wait till the new year to cut them off. It's some people you need to cut off on January 29th, 2023. You need to cut them off today. It's some folk you should have cut off in November 2022. And for all others, you need to cut them off before Valentine's Day. Ain't no need of you buying no Valentine present for somebody that ain't going to be around to be a love on Love Day. You got to learn how to kick out the right people. So notice, believe only. And as a general lesson, everyone should not be permitted to go where you're going. Okay. You got a lot of baggage on you of people that don't need to go where you're going. I've discovered a lot of people will ride with you as long as you're filling up the tank. The moment you ask for gas money, watch when the fight start. Fight didn't start as long as they was riding. But the moment they got to invest in you, that's when the fight starts. I wish I had a witness here. You got to learn how to not permit everyone to go where you're going. But then here's the second thing you got to understand. You got to observe the atmosphere. Look at somebody shout, observe the atmosphere. Let me see, because you got to understand, everyone is not ready for miracles to happen. Others don't want miracles to happen. You got some people that love you being in misery. As long as you're suffering and dependent upon them, they fine with you. Because you do know misery. And so many of us need to know that everyone is not ready for miracles to happen. Others don't want miracles to happen. But there are some folk that don't want your miracle to happen. You got some people that benefit off of you being miserable. I never understood why they would pass a gun law in the state of Tennessee that would allow guns to be to anybody that wanted to buy a gun. I never understood that. No kind of responsibilities, just everybody gets a gun. And then they point towards the Second Amendment that is everybody's right to bear an arm. Even though it's everybody's right to bear an arm, everybody shouldn't be right to bear an arm. I wish I had a witness here. Because some folk don't bit more need a gun. Amen. And now everybody got guns, and guns are in the wrong hand. It's just crazy how our society is just crazy. But hold on. Observe the atmosphere. Everybody shouldn't be permitted to go where you're going. But here's a specific lesson. Whenever you have confusion, learn how to kick some folk out and shut the door. Okay. It's some stuff you ain't got to fight about. All you got to do is tell them to leave. You see, many of us, we trying to fight stuff that we can literally get rid of. I'm not going to fight with you in my own house. Then I'm not going to fight with you on my own phone. I wish I had a family. I'm not going to fight with you in text message. I'm not going to fight with you in inboxing and DMing. I'm not going to fight with you on my Facebook page. Whatever you say, okay, that's all right, that's cool. Because I don't have to be right to be right. Many of us, we go all day fighting with folk and want to have, you know, these long discussions with people and talk about this, that, and the third. Now, I'm going to let you say what you want to say. It don't mean that I don't know what to say. It ain't worth my time. Let me go and close it up. Notice, the Bible says in verse 38, and he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming in, he said, why are you making this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleep. Bible says she's not dead, but she sleep. She's not dead, she sleep. As a people, we're not dead, we just sleep. I'm pivoting. That was a pivot right there. You didn't pay attention. That was a pivot in the message. Whenever you have a sermon, you have a pivot so that you can move a little forward. You got to understand, as an African-American culture, we're not dead. We just sleep. when I see and open up the news and see how blacks are killing the other blacks. We ain't dead. We just sleep. When I see how we'll spend money with other folk, but won't spend money with our folk. We ain't dead. We just sleep. When I see how it's easy for black cops. To fit in a social degraded system and continue what they've been trained by their masters. I understand. We're not dead. We just sleep. When I see how easy it is for people not to care and have compassion for a man that's laying on the side of a car after being beaten. We're not dead. But we are asleep. When I see in our communities how we don't have banks, but we got all these loan shark companies, payday loan systems. And we're the ones supporting them because we would rather have rims on our car rather than money in our savings account. We're not dead, but we are asleep. When I see how you wear more on your back and on your head than what you got in your head, we're not dead, we're asleep. Our people are some of the most gifted and talented people you will find on the face of the earth. Black people, if they came together, can do anything we put our mind to. But because of what slavery did to the mindset, many of us, we're still acting as if it's 400 years ago. Even though the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed and you've been free over 450 years. It amazes me. You're not dead, but we are asleep. It amazes me how we think somebody else's water is colder than our water. So we run to other people's stuff that don't look like us. So that we can fit into their scheme and make us feel as though we're more than somebody else. But when it comes to your own community, you will not give back, you won't go back, you will not come back. We're not dead. We just sleep. Well, let me close this sermon. Because you've got to learn how to kick some folk out. Shut the door. Notice what Jesus does. The Bible says in verse 40, it says, and they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and then them that were with him, Jesus, and enters in where the damsel was laying. Okay, let me see if I can do it this way. You got to stop trying to take your titles with you. What do you mean, Pastor? Many of us, we're nobody without our titles. Mark says Jesus takes the father, not the ruler. Okay, I know you missed it. Let me see if I can do this a little slower. The Bible says in verse 35, he is the ruler of the synagogue. But in verse 40, when Jesus comes, Jesus takes not the ruler of the synagogue, but he takes the father. Okay, I used to be slow too. Let me see if I can do it a little bigger. You see, many of us, we so caught up in our title and our role and who we are until if you don't address us in our name of our role and our position, then we can't function. You better learn that situations will arise in which you will strip off the collar, you will leave the name tag at home, you will not remember what you are doing, and only God will be able to save you and help you out your situation. Is there anybody here that knows I ain't studying no title, I don't care about no tag, because listen, I just want to be a servant of God, and God, if you can use me, I want you to use me up. His title is not what Jesus takes in the room. Titles don't mean a thing. You chasing people because they got a title. Oh, I'm running up behind this person because they're over this. They can open doors for me. I can call them at any time. This text teaches us that people with titles have the same problem as people that don't have a title. We're all at ground zero. I wish I had somebody in here that knew your title can't save you. Your title can't help you. Your title can't deliver you. Your title will not be able to get you out of the situation you're in. The only thing that can get you out is Jesus Christ. He takes the Father. He does not take the ruler. They're the same people. But he does not take the ruler. He takes the Father. I need you to understand that when something really happens in your life, let me help you out. Because many of us, we cry and fight about stuff that don't matter. If what you're going through has not made you forget your title, you really ain't going through nothing. But when you're going through something that when somebody asks you who you are and you don't start it off with your title, but you start it off with your name, let me help you out. That's when you know who you really are. Don't take your title with you. Okay, let me move on. You see, the same folk laughing at you right now about to learn they should have prayed for you. Bible says in verse 40, they laughed him to scorn. Notice the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. But notice Jesus puts them all out. So the same folk that's laughing at you right now will learn they should have prayed for you. You see, but notice doors can either be used to keep people in or shut people out. You got to learn what season you are in, because Jesus knew it was time to shut some people out. But he also knew who to keep in this season. It's time for you to close the door on your pain, on your problems, on your past, on people, and on pessimism. Look at somebody shout, I know that's right. You better learn how to close the door. Some of y'all just need to close the door. You need to I'm closing the door on my pain. I'm closing the door on those problems. I'm closing the door on my past. Some of y'all sitting there looking like you ain't got nothing you dealing with. I'm closing the door on people. I'm closing the door on some pessimism. Is there anybody here that knows I'm closing the door? I dare to just shut the door. Is there anybody here that knows I'm shutting the door? Right now in this season, I'm shutting the door, because there's some stuff that can't go with me any longer, because God is getting ready to take me to another level. Well, the Bible says in verse 41, he comes in verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and he says, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked. So she gets up and she walks. Well, she was of the age of 12 years old. Jesus takes her by the hand and says, gets up. Here's my clothes. I'm done. After you've said, get out, remember, it's now time for you to get up. Listen, it's some stuff that you've been doing. You got to close the door and command it to get out. I can't spend all my money on weed and pills. Can't spend all my money on sex and hotels. Can't spend all my money tax season on a man or a woman or buying, putting $3,500 down on a car with 352,000 miles on it. So I can say I got a Mercedes. Look at somebody shout, you got to close the door. Look at somebody shout, get out. I can't get $7,000 back in taxes and then talk about I'm finna let him flip my money. No, you don't need to let him flip your money, because what you need to do is flip him out the house. I wish I had a witness here. It's time for you to close the door, baby. Because you do understand things don't get right until around January, and then February he buying flowers because he know you're getting your check, and then in March, April, y'all got problems because he already spent your money. You got to learn how to close the door and shout, get out. Is there anybody here that knows? You got to tell him to get out, because it's not until you tell him to get out that you are able to get up. I'm done. I apologize. I didn't mean to say that out loud. I meant to say that inside. Y'all edit that out. Amen. You see, you got to understand your dream is getting up. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. My dream is getting up. My dream is getting up. I wish I had somebody that knew my dream is getting up. I wish somebody could shout, my dream is getting up. My vision is getting clearer because it's getting up. My hope is getting up. I ain't going to be so downward about our people because I believe we're getting up. Is there anybody here that knows that there's a brighter day on the horizon because we're getting up? Look at somebody shout, we're getting up because we're getting rid of some stuff and we're getting up. Is there anybody here that knows it's my season to get up?
Well, produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.